You're listening to a podcast by the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development.
Now we will move to Marie Farr, who is a researcher at Laboratoire Triangle. And her research interests include the study of complementary and community currencies, territorial development, and sustainable development. And I'm not sure if you're going to speak in French or in English. In French, okay. Madame Farré, vous avez la parole.
So I'm going to follow along the same lines as the analysis of Mr. Servé. But could I have the pointer, the remote control, please? So that I could present the potentialities and limits of social and complementary currencies, we're going to look at the issues relating to territorial development that's sustainable. So to come back to a few definitions and to characterize what exactly are these currencies, these are initiatives that have emerged from territories driven by citizens in a bottom-up basis. And if we want to define these currencies, these are specific account units which have been developed by a group of actors brought together within a network, making it possible to account for and regulate a trade in goods and services. And since the early 1980s, we've seen a process of multiplication and differentiation of such mechanisms. There's been an increase in their norms, in their number in both the North and the South. And so they've been differentiated not only by their adaptation to various situations, but they have also increased awareness that currency is a malleable good that can be adapted to various purposes, and this was up to civil society to define. This process gave rise to different models of social and complementary currencies. I'll be reverting to this in just a few minutes. So now I would like to look at the methodology, my methodological approach, and then the potentialities of these currencies with regard to sustainable territorial development, and also the empirical studies that have been carried out. And finally, I'm going to stress the need to move away from a currency competition approach to activate monetarity complementarities based on subsidiarity. So the two concepts are at the heart of my approach. First of all, a currency that has been reduced by instrumental orthodox approach to a mere tool that is for trade-based relations, and this doesn't really meet needs. So the institutional approaches see it as this is a fundamental aspect of any society which is used to settle debts. So in this analytical framework, the idea is to focus on not to focus on individual behavior, but to look at the practices or uses for currencies which are plural and complementary and can also be viewed with outside the trade-based value of money. Also, sustainable development, this is a soft concept. There are several different connotations, so I've taken an approach based on ecological, environmental economics, and here the various spheres, economics, environment, and so on, are interdependent. So we have combined these approaches with that of the economy of proximity and territorial economics. So within this framework, sustainable territorial development, we need a paradigm shift. So this is a process for change that there are two approaches that are combined to take into consideration the social concept within which the economy is based, and also there is the sphere of social activities, including economic activities, and that is embedded in the biosphere. So these choices imply mobilizing a holistic approach based on observable monetary approaches. in order to enrich the theoretical concepts. Two field surveys were carried out. One, the first mechanism studied was that of Solapin in France, which was a currency that was developed in Grenoble. It was more or less a customer faithfulness card where people who shared the same values were brought together around a social and solidarity economy based on the principle of sustainable development. But there's also the accordery, which was a Quebec-based mechanism characterized. This was a time bank, a system for the exchange or trade in services based on time. This also combines collective services, so you could have solidarity credits, and there was a centralized purchasing office as well. So there were in interviews, questionnaires, and observations. So the findings of these studies led to the construction of an evaluation grid for understanding the three potentialities of these social and complementary currencies. There are three dimensions. First of all, there's territorialization of activities, and by activity, I mean social activities, the creation of a local community that is publicized via the use of currencies, and also there is a social dimension, and the idea is to increase networking of the actors, but there are also political activities, the development of active multidimensional citizenship, implementation of collective and partnership governance, and the territorialization of economic activities where stress is placed on local use of income generated by local production, which is autonomous vis-à-vis the outside world. The second potentiality of these currencies in relation to the goal of local sustainable development is the energization of trade. This can take the place of the introduction of tools like microcredits or mutual credits, mutual loans. And the third dimension we identified is that of transforming practices, lifestyles, and social representations. This takes up individual consumption practices and modes, but also practices to enhance accountability and what we could call ecological or environmental citizenship. So not only consumption practices which are impacted, but also the body of practices and lifestyles, day-to-day practices of the actors involved. With regard to social representations, the idea was to look at the concept of needs and wealth, so with a view to meeting these various needs. Through this approach, we adopted a cross-cutting approach which combines the various forms of sustainability. This, in turn, helps us take into account the overall nature of sustainable development. So if we look at the main findings of these surveys carried out on Solapin Accorderie. The Accorderie, as we saw, created a local solidarity, local community based on reciprocity. It helped combat exclusion and poverty, especially material poverty, via access to mutualized credit, but also by promoting integration and the socialization of its members. It further promotes more sustainable lifestyles through especially the sharing of goods, recycling, and responsible consumption within centralized purchasing offices, and also it adds value to skills through the principle of equality, an hour equals an hour, regardless of the social standing of people or the service rendered. So this has an impact on social representations as such. The Solapin system, the second mechanism, is the idea is to reward acts of sustainable consumption. However, it remains an individual tool. It doesn't really lead to a collective dimension for the actors involved because its use is characterized in the final analysis by an individual act. It is a merchant or a trade-based instrument. And this is relates to the individual act of consumption. So its impact is limited by its weak scope. It relates to a certain niche of actors who are already aware of the need for sustainable development, so it doesn't bring together a broad range of actors in sufficient scope. But, however, it does help transform social representations by stressing the pluralized nature of the economy. More globally, what we've seen from the results of the findings, on the one hand, the objectives of energizing trade and territorialization were limited by the scope of the mechanisms introduced, and secondly, each mechanism promotes one or more aspects of sustainable local development. So these currencies may be tools for sustainable local development, so the issue is determining the relevant conditions for their introduction, ensuring their acceptance, and ensuring a sufficiently broad scale of action. Insofar as these mechanisms are diverse, as are the issues of sustainable local development, this stresses a need for a broad understanding of monetary frameworks, because a single type of currency cannot meet all of these goals. So really the key comes from monetary complementarity, which is activated by the principle of monetary subsidiarity. As I can see that I have very little time left, I'm going to speed up, and now I'm going to move on to the theoretical component which underlies all of my work. Now, there is a monetary or currency plurality which can take the which can impact on the day-to-day practices of the actors, or also the use of qualitative characteristics. Now, I went beyond this monetary-based approach to look at the various linkages and the processes for conversion among currencies by adopting a position that was more or less forward-looking, where the aim was to determine the type of currency that was the most relevant to enhance the move towards a new paradigm, that of sustainable local territorial development. So there are two different scales here that are of more particular interest to us. First of all, with regard to urban neighborhoods or localities or the regional level, here these are scales that are infranational and territorialized, and this is of particular interest to us in terms of the issues at stake. So first of all, with regard to urban neighborhoods or localities in rural areas, the idea was to develop a currency that made it possible to tighten social ties, to develop trade between the various inhabitants, with a view to strengthening social cohesion and inclusion. Another dimension that could be useful is that of promoting other logics to meet needs by breaking out of the logic of merchandization and moving towards a logic of demerchandization of needs, by modifying the logic based on the satisfaction of needs, and by delinking the improvement of well-being from consumption. Behind this, there's the idea of promoting an economy of functionality, where the important thing is not possessing the good, but rather how you use the good. So what kind of a currency meets these different characteristics? So my assumption, this would be a currency that is a time-based unit, like the sol or the leds, or the time banks as well. This is another example, with the principle of equality. An hour is an hour, and there you can have various forms of trade of services based on this. So the idea is to promote reciprocity and solidarity between the different members. From the point of view of linkages with the other currencies, this is based on an autonomous mode. It's non-commensurable, and this can be used exclusively within a socio-economic sphere between a determined group, a specific group of actors. So in schematic terms, this is how it works out. I'm sorry, I don't have time to go into this, so I'm going to look at the regional level. Here, you could have a second currency. This would be a currency that is designed to promote the creation of strongly territorialized systems for people that use this currency. Here, the issue at stake would be to adopt a global approach in terms of complex socioeconomic systems and to territorialize socioeconomic activities in the territories by activating the different forms of proximities. What are the various monetary characteristics? This would be paper money, like the type that the Brazilian Community Development Bank used, or another German development bank. This would be used in a specific territory. This currency would be commensurable, but its convertibility would be limited by its monetary qualities because it could not be used outside this specific zone. The public authorities, of course, have a role to play here. This was stressed in the previous speeches that were delivered. It is conversion that is limited. This could be combined with, for instance, a microcredit system, as Mr. Servais pointed out. Now, in conclusion, quite rapidly, so the issue is to move beyond both the principle of currency competition and move towards this monetary subsidiarity and to try to find linkages with the other currencies so that we could promote sustainable territorial development. So there are two different kinds of mechanisms that we could introduce on an infranational level, so that we could reconcile the various forms of sustainability and drive the necessary societal transformations which are needed for a paradigm shift. So social and complementary currencies have a strong potential to drive this transition towards sustainable development, but this is not the solution to all of the problems. On the contrary, this must be part of a holistic territorial project. And I'm going to stop there. Thank you.
Check out our other podcasts available free on the iTunes Store. For more information, go to our website, www.unris.org. Thank you for listening.